This goes to Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, Smith, P-A-C, fax 989-953-5329, regarding Carla. Last name is Moog, M like Mary, O-G-G, date of birth 2/6/1956. Dear Miss Smith, this is a consultation for Mrs. Moog for evaluation of elevated creatinine levels, noted March 29th of this year. Ms. Moog is a 68-year-old female with a history of type 2 diabetes and hypertension for many years. Diabetes has been well controlled. However, she had been using some oral non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs regularly after she fell and had a severe compression fracture of L4 and then also a right knee injury, and that was in 2021. So she did use excessive oral non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs at that time, but has not been using them within the last 6 months to 1 year. She's not having any other symptoms of kidney disease, as would be expected with current creatinine levels. She did have an adverse reaction to Ozempic when it was titrated up to the 2 mg weekly dose. She developed severe nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea, and she was admitted to McLaren, Mid-Michigan Health for on 7/8/24. Actually, 7/5 to 7/8/24, she reports for IV fluids. At that time, her blood pressure was low, and she had been advised to stop the Norvasc 10 mg daily, but has resumed that within the last month. Upon admission, creatinine was 1.57, then 2.18, 1.58, 1.10, and 1.08 on 7/8/24 when she was discharged. She did have a great deal of IV fluid resuscitation at that point. All troponin levels were normal, magnesium, lipase level normal, liver enzymes were slightly elevated initially and then normalized with the IV fluids. Potassium levels were 3.7 up to 4.3. Carbon dioxide levels slightly low and also normal initially. Glucose range between 158, 172, and 91 when she was admitted. Since stopping the Ozempic, she has felt fine. No further vomiting or diarrhea episodes. And so she won't be using GLP-1 inhibitor medications or antagonist medications at this point due to the severe side effects she experienced. Currently, she denies chest pain or palpitations. She does follow with Dr. Lee in Bay City for cardiology. There was some discussion of having a cardiac catheterization, but she's been stable without symptoms currently, so Dr. Lee is just going to watch her and watch levels and watch the patient. She does have chronic swelling of the lower extremities, and the left leg is worse than the right. All the injuries after her back injury and L4 compression fracture affected the right side of her body. After she had vertebroplasty, cement actually started leaking out and impinging nerves, so she required more surgery to go in and remove the cement fragments that were leaking out of the vertebroplasty site. And so she did develop right foot drop after that and right leg numbness and pain. And less swelling happens to be on the right side after the injury also. She denies shortness of breath, cough, or wheezing. No recent upper respiratory infections. No current nausea, vomiting, or dysphagia. No diarrhea, blood, or melena. Urine is clear without cloudiness or blood. And she denies excessive bruising, no ulcerations or lesions of the lower extremities. Past medical history is significant for type 2 diabetes, fairly well controlled for at least 10 years, hypertension, chronic edema of the lower extremities, right worse than left, allergic rhinitis, hyperlipidemia, anemia, vitamin D deficiency, vitamin B12 deficiency, chronic low back pain, the right foot drop, and right leg neuropathy. She had the L4 vertebroplasty within the leak. This is past surgical history. So L4 vertebroplasty, then requiring a surgical removal of the cement that was leaking at the time after the vertebroplasty procedure was done. She had an open cholecystectomy in the early 80s. She had a tubal ligation in 1993, right knee scope in 2021. She had tonsillectomy as a child. She had an EGD this year that was normal and a colonoscopy, but she was not entirely clear of stool, so she may need either a Cologuard or a repeat colonoscopy, she reports. Social history, the patient does not smoke. She does not use alcohol or illicit drugs. She is divorced and lives alone. Her sister accompanied her to this appointment today. Family history is positive for heart disease, hypertension, thyroid disease, and cancer. Review of systems as stated above, otherwise negative. Physical exam, weight is 214 pounds. She's 63 inches tall. Pulse 65 and regular, blood pressure left arm sitting, large adult cuff, 144 over 74. Tympanic membranes and canals are clear, pharynx is clear, tonsils absent, uvula midline. Neck is supple, no carotid bruise, no jugular venous distension, no lymphadenopathy. Lungs are clear without rales, wheezes, or effusion. Heart is regular, without murmur, rub, or gallop. Abdomen is soft, obese, non-tender, no ascites, no enlarged liver or spleen, no palpable masses. Extremities, the left lower extremity, foot, ankle, about halfway up the calf, 2+ edema, pitting. Right lower extremity, foot, no edema noted, and 1+ ankle edema, about a third of the way up the lower leg. She does have decreased sensation to touch in the right foot, and it's intact in the left, on the left side. And labs, most recent lab studies were done 7-8 of 2024, the day that she was discharged following severe dehydration and acute kidney injury. Her creatinine was 1.08 with estimated GFR 56. Calcium 9.0, sodium 138, potassium 3.7, carbon dioxide 21, phosphorus 3.9, magnesium 1.7, hemoglobin was 11.1 with a normal white count, normal platelets, and normal differential. And May 16th, 2024, her hemoglobin was 11.9, white count was elevated 12.8, platelets were normal. Her microalbumin to creatinine ratio was elevated at 3,369, showing gross proteinuria. She had a CT scan of the abdomen and pelvis, 10-12 of 23. That was negative for hydronephrosis, negative for stones, and the bladder appeared unremarkable at that point. Assessment and plan. One, stage 3A, chronic kidney disease with gross proteinuria. and diabetic nephropathy. We're scheduling the patient for a kidney ultrasound with post-void bladder scan in Mount Pleasant. She's going to repeat our labs now, including a parathyroid hormone, immunofixation, free light chains, antiphospholipase A2 receptor antibodies, free light chains, urinalysis with microscopic. We are doing a 24-hour urine collection for protein due to the gross proteinuria. She'll have a CBC and renal panel also. After those results are back, labs will probably be monitored every 3 months thereafter. And she will continue to follow a low-salt diabetic diet. She reports that you may want to start Farxiga, and that would certainly be appropriate. Occasionally, patients can become dehydrated when they start that, and it may be worthwhile to check renal labs within 1 to 2 weeks after starting that. And then we will check labs probably every 3 months thereafter. And she will be scheduled for a follow-up visit with this practice in 6 months. The patient was also evaluated and examined by Dr. Fuente. All care was coordinated with and directed and approved by him. Mary Stunner, CNP/Jose Fuente, MD.